On today's Restart Podcast, we begrudgingly recap what was a pretty disappointing, or very disappointing effort on the weekend. Didn't see that coming, didn't want to see that coming, don't want to think about it, don't want to recap it, to be honest. We're going to get a man on board who's feeling rushed already tonight. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer, right after we start wearing purple. We don't want to be wearing purple. With Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.
Welcome to the Restart Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who's searching for positives. Let's see if he's found some. That is my good friend, Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Don't get paid for it enough for this, Jojo. Don't get paid anything. What are we doing this for?
What, or any of it? Or just the football bit? Or, yeah, any of it. That's the way I kind of feel as well.
Let's just get to, are you down with the restump? Then we'll get out of here.
Just wrap it up. My goodness, what an absolute debacle.
I can't explain it. I mean, nobody can explain it. You know, I thought we weren't that club anymore. I honestly thought we'd moved on from that.
Do you know who did try and explain it? Was JL in the press conference. What did he say? We've only played in front of our fans 2 weeks out of six.
That was his answer.
He said a few bits and pieces like that. I'm a staunch JL defender. I do like what he's kind of doing and where we're going in a macro sense. But that wasn't the time to start offering up excuses.
Definitely not. Do you know what? I switched
even
off.
If he didn't mean to.
No, I know. I started to listen to it, and then he used the new buzz phrase: "We got beaten by what we knew." That's it. I'm out. I'm switching off. Don't tell me that. You know.
What are we conceding there? That West Coast is just a better football side than us?
But I don't. This is the thing. That's thrown out like it's supposed to mean something. So yeah. It's actually a double negative. You got beaten, and you knew you were going to get beaten.
To be fair, I wouldn't have wanted to be him sitting trying to defend that performance because it was completely indefensible. It was something from the dark ages of Fremantle Dockers folklore. Like, we haven't seen. Yeah. I've seen people say that they thought the North Melbourne loss last year was worse than that. I don't agree.
No, I don't either. I definitely not. Because you've got to take into account, I mean, what we were toothless on the ground, but what was at stake? You know, given what we'd come off the last 2 weeks, we should have had such anger and ferocity to start that game, and we should have unleashed it on West Coast.
And it's crazy that we came out of the blocks well. What, first 20 minutes, what do we have, 16 inside 50s, just couldn't score.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, they were terrible. They were terrible inside 50s because we straight away started, you know, talking about, you know, don't get beaten by what you know. We were bombing it long. And that's the one thing you do not do when West Coast have got McGovern and Barras there. You just don't do it. You know, we got, frustrated already, Jojo.
And it kind of, it's symptomatic of the performance of us in its whole, I think. Even though we did kind of dominate proceedings for that first little bit, it was done without really too much thought or too much application going into it. Like you said, it was quite agricultural the way we sent the ball forward. I think these guys turned up in a really passive state of mind. They were never engaged, really, from start to finish. Thought it was going to happen. I mean, you give any side, let alone a side, you know, they still had a veteran presence. I mean, their average age was higher than us. I mean, they're all professionals.
Yep.
You give a team a start and you let them get ahead. We don't have the game to make up a 40-odd point gap. Like, as soon as it got to that, where were we kicking a score from? Where were we kicking a score from?
Yep. I think I mentioned on the pre-pod, I rattled off those numbers. They're horrendous numbers about our inside 50s, the number of inside 50s we let in, and our scoring shots. We don't kick a score. We let too many. And I think we mentioned that if our defenders had an off day, we were going to get picked off. Now, I didn't see that coming, even if that occurred. I'm not going to say I saw that coming because I didn't. But we got to see it. Our defenders.
Well, as a collective, the podcast, we definitely didn't see it coming because I can't remember being more bullish on a Fremantle victory.
Me neither.
In recent times. Yeah. So, I will say. Is the one that looks stupid for sure.
I will say in our defence, Reedy accused us of tempting the footy gods. The footy gods bet on Freo as well, Jojo. They tipped Freo as well. So that wasn't the case. But yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when our defenders went down, they really were a mess. They just weren't. Probably Jordan Clark was the only one that could really hold his head up. The rest of them were not the defenders we know.
But it was similar to a couple of times last year where we went to pieces. And
yep.
We've already seen it, and nothing exemplified it better than the last 2 weeks in narrow losses to Carlton and then the loss to Port.
Mm.
It's the way we defended as a unit.
Yep.
It didn't look like, Luke Ryan was picking up player X or, Piercy was dedicated to taking Charlie Dixon. Everyone was coming across to helping one another.
Yep.
We defended as a unit. People were chopping each other out. I don't think it's been a more blatant display of everyone looking after their own backside than on the weekend. There was none of that kind of system defense. It was all, okay, we're getting done here. We're not on today. I got to cover my own behind, and that's all I really care about.
And that opens up a larger problem, is that you could see that bubbling below the surface, that if we did have a bad game or a bad game somewhere along the line down back, we don't have the midfield game, we don't have the forward connection game, we don't have the ability to score game to mitigate that. So we're in a lot of trouble if our defenders do not stand up.
I mean, you can talk about the defence as being a problem on the night, which it was. I don't think that's the issue overall. Midfield, again, did look a little bit one-dimensional, but again, I don't think that is the problem and why we lost. If you want to look at the team as a whole, and I know you possibly can't blame them for everything, but our forward line, you name me a guy, Jai Amos went down early with that, innocuous kind of hit onto from the knee of McGovern and went down. Apart from him, sorry, can you tell who's going to bob up and kick five?
No, they're not. I mean,
there's been a gross underinvestment in our forward line for so long.
Yeah.
And then you lose a Switkowski.
You lose a Freddie.
I know you're down on, but you lose Switkowski and Freddie's pace.
Yeah.
Michael Walters, I'm sorry, but he just hasn't been there. He hasn't been out of form. putting it nicely, isn't it? I think he's had something like... He's had six kicks in his last 10 quarters or something.
Three's a dream.
He's been absolutely horrific. And, pace is not really his forte at this point.
Hmm.
There was no movement. There was nothing happening inside our forward 50. So, we can talk about the entries. But, I mean, guys have got to have someone to kick to.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. And
we're toothless. Absolutely
we really
toothless.
We really were. But at the same time, if you're... The connection's not there, whether that's forward or whether it's mid to – it's – I don't know. I don't know where the problem
is. What are you connecting with?
But that's what I mean. Where is it? Is it the forwards not moving or is it the mids aren't good enough to hit up the targets?
I just think that there's been a problem all year, and even in the games where we've played well, that the forward – there's not enough movement from the forwards. I feel like I talk about it every single week. And – there's not enough leading up at the ball. There's too much standing behind or back leading or side leading or kick it to me. Without highlighting the efficiencies of the other team who beat us very soundly on the day.
Yeah.
I mean, when they came out the front of the contest in the middle when they started absolutely rolling us over and giving it to us, they had multiple players coming at the foot.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it's a stark contrast to the other end.
So then what happened in those first two games of the year where we kicked 100 points and 90-something or whatever it was? We did that against Brisbane.
Well, it still wasn't perfect, was it? I mean, the forward
move can't be too bad if you know.
No, it wasn't too bad, but I mean, we don't have it up forward. We absolutely don't have it. If you had 16 inside 50s or whatever it was in the first quarter, and you can't score.
No.
But I realize delivery, not every midfield delivery going into the forward line comes on a silver platter.
Yep.
Like, you have to work if you're a forward. You have to play.
You've got to generate.
You have, yeah, but, I mean, there's got to be something coming of that, surely.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Unless we're just kicking it down. I realise some of those kicks weren't perfect, and some of them did go straight down the throat of your McGovern's and your Barras, but not everyone. Not everyone did. And you can halve those contests.
Yeah.
You've got to do better. You've got to do better.
You do. There's no... We can beat around the bush about it. We had, you know, you're on those inside 50s. As you said, we had 16 the first quarter. We were plus 9. They had 7 and kicked 4 goals, 1. They nearly scored every single time they went in.
I think the numbers got worse almost as that the second quarter unfolded in terms of them entering forward 50 and scoring from their efficiency in terms of when they went inside was a joke.
It was ridiculous.
Absolute joke.
It was ridiculous. We had... After quarter time, we had just 24 inside 50s for three quarters of footy for the last three quarters. Five.
And watching it, I think you would have guessed probably less.
Because you could count
them
on
one of the hardest watches I can remember.
The third quarter, you could literally count them on one hand. We had 5.
Yeah. No. You don't want to dissect this game too much because obviously not what we're about, or you'd hope it's not what we're about in a broader sense. But to serve that up... It's just unfathomable. I still can't understand how it was just a listless performance across the board, really.
Yeah, and we're ones to be finding the positives, Jojo, when they're there. So it's not as if we're just bashing for the sake. Honestly, I subjected myself to a second watch of that game this morning.
You're absolutely insane.
Yeah,
why would you do that?
I don't know. That's how far we went. I went to try and find something. I couldn't find it.
My prediction would be that it didn't look any better the second time round. In fact, you probably would have picked up a few. Yeah, I was going to say, pick up things you missed the first time round when you were shouting at the roof or something like that and missed something.
Yeah.
There was no good. There was nothing good.
Do you know what I think?
Anyway.
Do you know what I know? It's not the answer, but we've got to get rid of this good guy policy. We're too nice. I think we're too nice. You know, this policy we've implemented at the club, I think it's doing us a disservice, Jojo. We're at that point out there on the field on Saturday night, and it was like how you and your polo club stooges talk to each other. Pardon me, you know, you were here first, my good man. That type of thing. That's what we were doing. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's the bit of leadership that we were missing. I mean, it's something to go on. It is. It's kind of combined. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, if we're looking at Sarong and Brayshaw and we argue over who's the next captain, I mean, a lot of this started in the middle towards the middle part of this game and the second and third quarters. Like, where were these blokes? Like, we talk them up as if they're, you know, they set this great example. That's a leadership issue, on-field leadership issue.
Yep.
You can talk about JL's coaching. I don't think it matters what strategy you implement on the weekend. The effort wasn't there. The intensity's not there. The engagement's not there. That's a player issue, 100% a player issue.
Yep.
And
our mindset.
The real issue and the worry for me is the fact that our leadership group, as it currently stands, and we do have what I would consider to be really good leaders, and we've been talking up Piercy's captaincy all year.
Yep.
Where is it? I mean,
where was it when it was most needed?
You get really tested on a game like that, where absolutely everyone's off the bit.
Yep.
How do you change? How do you change the course of the game? How do you get everyone up? How do you re-engage your 15th, 16th, 17th player to come along with the better players?
Yep.
And we all get on board and we nut out a victory. We find a way. We absolutely couldn't find a way to get involved in that game at all.
Harley Reid's a jet, right? He's a generational talent. He is unbelievable. We're not going to deny him that. But Simo wasn't the only one who gave him a license, Jojo. From the very... We gave him a license. From the very first second, he was absolutely on and he was into us straight away. You know, he's pushing us, niggling, verbaling.
Well, your man Nat Fyfe played for the free kick and just let him push him over and run off.
I saw it.
There's no way that guy just pushes Nat Fyfe over if Nat Fyfe doesn't want to be pushed over. We were passive as anything against that guy. And then the first time he took a mark and kicked a goal, like, sure, this is the part of the leadership I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, surely someone said, okay, hang on a minute. You know, this crowd's going to get up and about in a minute. They love they love this Harley Reid kid. He's going to be on the front of the paper. Surely we're not going to be the team that puts Harley Reid's name up in lights and said, you know, give him the win. It's all about Harley Reid, how great are the Eagles. Like, surely they see that coming. Surely as soon as he does, they had that moment. You put him on his backside every opportunity you get. I think we did it once, maybe in the third quarter when it was way, way too late.
Too late.
It was done.
But that exactly the point I was going to make. He took a mark in the goal square in that first quarter, two meters out. Give away a 50-meter penalty.
To that point, though, he'd done nothing until then.
But it doesn't matter.
Like, that's what I mean, though. So as soon as he does something like that, you get someone into him. Surely someone gets into him.
What are you going to lose?
He's played five games.
What are you going to lose? What? We're 48 metres up. We're plus 48 metres. You give away a 50-metre penalty there. You know?
Yeah.
No one went back at him. Like, how can you let a six-game, 19-year-old kid, and he's good. I love him. And I love what he did. I actually love.
Yeah, I'm with you. He played really well. He did. He had one of those games. You know, you talk about, you have those games where you can have it 20 times. He kicked three goals.
Yep.
He could have had it 35 times, you know, like some of these other guys do. And he's had way more impact on the contest just through impact of running and carrying, kicking goals.
Yeah.
Like he was really good. Let him be good.
But that stuff was great. But it was his getting your face, getting you, you know, knock you over when he had the chance. Like, I was sitting there watching it. I'm thinking, I'd love to be sitting with Ryan Crowley and him thinking, watching that, going, you guys are letting a 19-year-old kid bully you, like verbally, physically, whatever else. Do you remember back to, like, you know, that 2013 era? You had a Nick Subin, a Lee Spur, a Mzungu, you know, De Boer. Those guys wouldn't let that happen. Do you know what I mean? They had that sort of, that hardness about them that, and that little bit of pride, that they wouldn't let that happen. And when you let that happen, that's when they all get up.
The other thing, it wasn't just our season players that had an opportunity to do that. If I'm a Matt Johnson, if I'm a Neil Erasmus, if I'm any of these guys, and I'm looking to find my way and put a stake in the ground and say, I need to find my little slot in this Dockers lineup if I'm going to hold my spot in the 22. And I don't want to be a sub. I don't want to be back up and down from Peel. Yep. I don't want to sit out on the wing. Why wouldn't you take it upon yourself to put the hand up? Go to jail and say, like, give me this guy. But it just seemed as though no one wanted to go anywhere near him.
No, it was weird, wasn't it? It was like we were intimidated. You know, and I know you've got to be very careful what you can and can't do on a field, but you can get up in their face and you can be right on him every time he goes near the ball. But
also, we're at the point where in our evolution where someone surely in the 22 that's out in the field can say, geez, we need something here. We need a spark. Someone has to do something.
Yep.
You know, motion creates emotion. You know, not necessarily lay someone out. Lay a big tackle, put on a shepherd. Something. There was no inspirational acts on the field that said, come on, boys, come along with me. Let's go. And you know, we came on in the last quarter, and JL spoke about that as well, about how we started getting more into the contest or whatever. Mate, the game was over.
What, 60 points down? I mean,
like you can do whatever you want at that point.
Of course you can.
It does not matter at all.
No.
I mean, we're giving Jake Waterman five goals. I know he kicked six the week before, but I mean, the whole thing was just an absolute disgrace. And I was trying to think of, you know, because the obvious point following a game like that, especially like with it being a derby, so we've all got to head to work on Monday. We'll head to the pub on Sunday for a lunch, or we'll catch up with friends. You know, we've got our fantasy football group where everyone started, getting into it and celebrating the victory, and rightfully so. Like, West Coast fans should celebrate that victory because it was one of the more unlikely victories you think you'd ever come across. But for Freo fans, you just have nothing. Like, I feel so uncomfortable trying to defend that because it's completely indefensible.
You just can't.
We've gone back to the rebuild. You know, we've re-stumped. We've gone and got all our first-round draft picks. We've traded well. We've done this. We've been smart. We've got our new chevrons. We're looking professional. We've got our five-year plan where we're going to win X amount of flags. So, we're rolling around town, having done all this stuff.
Mm.
You know, this new professional club. I think I'd almost like to wind back the clock and just get the anchor on the front, get some green back in the jumper.
Yeah.
I liken it a little bit to my mum's favourite movie, Pretty Woman.
Right. Oh, here we go. I'm interested to see how you're going to link this.
I don't know where this is going to go, but you know, Richard Gere picks her up off the street,
yeah, and
spends a bit of money, tidy everyone up. You know, we go buy some expensive couture clothing, hair and makeup, feeling $1 million. But then you get put in a situation like this.
And we get screwed.
Yeah, exactly. But you're in your new expectations. You've got your new outfit, you've got your fancy draft picks, you've got your expectations that you're gonna win flags, our new administration, we're all doing everything properly.
Strutting.
It's like I'd feel way more comfortable defending us if we played a bit of Jared Neesham, chip and draw footy, a bit of run out of the back line. I don't know, an anchor on the front, polystyrene anchor out of the rock before the game. I just feel more at home that way. I get the link.
I get where you're coming from.
If this is us, if we're going to turn these performances out, and I thought they were long gone.
So did I.
I thought they were well behind us. But if they're not,
and
we've still got them in us a couple of times a year, just let us be our authentic selves, and let's just, like, if we win, we win. If we don't, at least we had some sighs and some throughout the game. We vented. Yep. But if we win, we enjoy the win. We win in a Fremantle Docker way. I don't know where we go from here. We cannot churn out another performance like that ever again.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right, and I absolutely get where you're coming from. In that last quarter, Paps was commentating, and he said, you know, Freo fans are pondering the question, where are we at? At that exact moment, I was thinking that. I was questioning everything. I'm thinking, this has exposed so many flaws in what we're trying to do. And I don't know, is it a, you know, once-off? Is it an outlier, as, you know, you often say?
But even if it is. Even if it is, if this is your outlier, like,
it's beyond,
you know, I went to a poor football school when I went to high school at Christchurch.
Yep.
We had no expectation that we were going to win a game. I think through my 3 years in the first 18, maybe we won half a game. I think we drew at Guildford once when someone took a hang in the goal square and kicked a goal on the siren. That was very exciting. But the thing, the parallel I want to draw is for teams that don't have a culture and a history of success, which we don't at Fremantle to this point, whether we want to try and defend that or not, we absolutely don't. We've won a flag.
Yep.
We've won a few finals here and there.
Mm.
But we've come back from Adelaide off the back of two meritorious performances against teams that are top four bound, you would think, at this point. So we've come back. We've got bags full of belief and confidence and all the buzzwords. You know, we've done a great job. And we did. We did. We put in two really good shifts. We didn't get the points. That's the main thing that we should be taking out of it.
Yep.
And going back to Christchurch, the coach, I did it for about 5 or 6 years, going back 2 years now, the same attitude prevailed that this performance where you put in a good shift, you've put in a performance that people have lauded, have said, geez, you're unlucky not to get the win. You put in a great effort. You know, well done.
Mm.
Are we that club that we come back from Adelaide, and, okay, we almost beat Carlton, we almost beat Port, we've done really, really well, you know, and then we think, okay, we've kind of done our bit for now. Like, do we have to keep on putting in as hard as we possibly can? We didn't get the 8 points out of the eight that we went over. We didn't even get four out of the eight. But is what we did good enough? Can we? And then we turn up and mail in next week because we think we've done a good job.
Absolutely not, but it does appear. What other conclusion can you draw from you come back and serve that up, what we did on Saturday night? You know, is there anything, Joe, like,
I'm not here to offer positives, by the way. No, but I just say that loss, it didn't feel like a failure in tactics. It's definitely not. You look at the two teams lined up on paper, it's not a loss on paper in terms of personnel. Like, we had well and truly enough out there to cover them. Like, absolutely. Like, sure, you could argue West Coast top-end players compete with ours relatively well enough, but there's a massive drop-off, and we don't have that drop-off. We did on Saturday. The guys down there towards the 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, whatever on the list, didn't perform, but they have done in the past and in recent history.
Is it possibly there's been like a big compounding effect? where the 2 weeks in Adelaide, we lose Switter, we lose Freddie, Jai goes down. I'm not trying to find excuses here. I'm just, you know, like, does it then expose the Bailey Banfield, the Ethan Hughes, the Josh Draper? You know, do they get more exposed when you're at the end, tail end of that sort of snowball?
Yeah, sure. That's fine. But we conceded 25 scoring shots to the West Coast. You think back last week, the scores that we've held to Port Adelaide to.
Yeah, I know.
The scores we've held Carlton to. I mean, sure, like maybe we're missing a few bits and pieces up front. We're not going to kick 100 points. But to concede 105?
Yeah. Yeah. Did we underestimate Elliot Yeo and Tim Kelly and obviously Harley Reid? You know, but then again, we won the clearances. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Too confused.
The performance itself is, I think there's quite a few question marks that hang over it. And I think they're the ones that you don't want to ask yourself in terms of,
yeah,
what does our club stand for? You know, where's the intestinal fortitude that it's required to get yourself up in a game where the other team's quite obviously up and you're not there to meet them? Like, how do you change on the fly? How do you change the course of a game? Is everyone waiting for Justin Longmuir to come in at quarter time and say some magic words, like sprinkle some magic dust, or he's got magic beans to turn the tide?
Hmm.
I mean, that for me, this is a player-driven thing, and it comes from a culture at the club which hasn't shifted to the point where we thought it had.
Yeah. That's what I came away with it. Thinking, as I said at the top, I did not think we were – I thought we'd moved on from that. I thought we had this culture with these young guys that were – you know, you always talk about their ownership of the club. I thought that's where we were. And it just makes you rethink everything once. And then you start thinking, is our midfield good enough? I mean, you even go that far when you see that bad a performance. You know, a Brayshaw or a Sarong, are they good enough to, you know, take us to the next level?
I think that they absolutely are.
You think so?
I think they absolutely are because, well, they've not only had their credentials stamped and ratified internally by Fremantle fans, like these guys have been lauded across the board nationally. You know, Sarong last year. I mean, they can do it.
But
they're not
delivering under pressure. You know, are we good enough?
Absolutely, they can do it. 100% they can do it. We've got the right people.
We've got the right people.
I think we absolutely have the right people. You don't throw it out after 1 week. But
no, I'm not throwing it out. I'm just saying a result like that was that poor and was that sort of shocking. It just makes you throw everything up in the air and go, what are we missing here? How is this still happening?
So we watched a whole year of this last season, didn't we? I mean, we kind of picked and choose when we want to give 100%, whether our fitness wasn't there or whatever it was when we came back. I don't know, there's a multitude of issues regarding last season's performance. It just looked like on the weekend, they made a choice, and it was a conscious choice, that whether you like it or not, they weren't prepared for what West Coast bought.
Could not possibly be a conscious choice.
Well, it is. I mean, it's at some point.
No, it can't be. It cannot be.
No, you're operating in a professional competition. There's no way that they prepared as well or thoroughly against West Coast as what they did the 2 weeks prior.
But that's
because
not
if you
a, that's
turned
not,
up in the same mindset, you don't get done like that.
It cannot be. You can't consciously do that. Surely not.
They have. You got to turn up every single week.
Yeah, but these you're guys suggesting
need to,
that
these guys didn't get naked around the campfire and tell some honest truths to one another because they most of them mailed that in on the weekend.
Yeah,
and no one showed any desire to change it.
Yeah, but that's you're suggesting that's deliberate. Consciously is deliberate. You know,
well, because they just thought someone else is going to do it.
I don't know. I think it's more. I think there's more to it, Jojo. I think there's more to it. Tell me this, dude. Ever. In that game, did we think about sending Hayden Young back?
Yeah. And I think if you're going to be critical of the coaching panel, I think the lack of malleability in terms of who was in the midfield and what we did around our defense and changing up the look up front, that'd be the criticism. We're too fixed, aren't we?
Yeah, I sort of thought, like, we're getting hammered. You know, poor Josh Draper's down there doing, you know, he's not ready for it. We know that. He's doing a good job of what he's done, but, you know, Hughesy's, you know, we know what he is. We didn't make one. I don't think we made one move down there. Jimmy Aish was having a shocker, you know. Mm. He never has a shocker. So,
well, it's kind of pointless talking about who played well, who didn't. It is. No one played well.
It is.
No one played well.
Do you know this started, though? The whole rot started, I think, in the it was like a minute into the game. You know, because when you get – and I saw this morning, which I didn't see when I watched it live. It was a minute and a half into the game. Alex Pearce tried to kick it to Bailey Bamford in a one-on-one, and he was surrounded by three other West Coast Eagles on their own. So – one, it was a terrible decision by someone who's not really a great kick, you know, kicking it to someone who's not a noted contest winner. And then two, why did three Eagles have no one on them in the first minute and a half of the game? In that shot on the TV, there is not another Freo player. So it was a 4-on-1. And straight away, I'm looking at them and going, this rot started a lot earlier than... You know what? Than when we thought.
Yeah.
You know, talking. I guess you're talking mindsets. You know, like.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other thing to look at as well is selection. I mean, as well as we kind of played the fortnight previous, there's been performances that he kind of have started to bring into question whether guys are doing enough to maintain their spot. You mentioned Ethan Hughes. I think had Chapman maybe been a week further advanced, there's no chance he's in the team. And I'd just be staggered if he plays next week after what Chappie did in the twos. I think as much as I like the idea of what Jago O'Meara should be complementing the group with, unfortunately, the group isn't getting it done. So, he's not able to complement them with what he needs to add on. He needs to be doing more because we require more from everyone. So, I think he's incredibly lucky to be in the team this week if he holds his spot. And even Bailey Banfield, like, I know the effort's there, the intensity's there with him. He always gives you everything he's got, but those misses, like, going back, I know we spoke about there were difficult shots a week ago against Port Adelaide where he put the two out in the full identically. Yeah. But the misses on the weekend...
They were all gettable.
Just putting it politely. But, I mean, it comes to a point where... You need forwards that can kick goals, and it's never become more evident to me, even in isolation, that we can't go on saying he gives 100%. But then he ends up being on the end of a chain where you do have some connection between the midfield and the forward line.
Yep.
And then you don't. What do you get from it? What's the point?
4 points. You know, 4 points. He's had four shots on goal.
So then the forward line, you got Bailey, who's getting opportunities, can't capitalise on them and hasn't been able to for a few weeks. Mm. You got Sonny, who is taking up a spot in the team and giving us absolutely nothing, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, Jacko didn't have his best game up forward, but you give him a leave pass for what he's been able to do in the ruck so far this year. But, I mean, he was relatively ineffective. He looked like he was running around like a headless chook at points.
His timing was way off.
He was in no man's land, wasn't he?
Wasn't he? So there's another one. And then Sturdy.
And then Sturdy, I don't know, it's his first game in, but...
But here's the difference, right? Sturdy gets on the end of him, he kicks him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying... So if he's doing
that and everyone else is delivering, then it's fine. But again, they're not.
No.
So you need to look at it in a holistic kind of sense where...
Yeah,
you can't afford to have someone in there getting three or four touches and kicking two goals if you got Mickey Walters not touching it, if you've got, you know, Bailey Banfield taking a bunch of chances, not kicking them.
Even Tracy had a shocker.
Yeah, he did.
You know, the way he's been building, you know, that...
But that's why you don't want to go too hard on him because he's been so good.
That's right. But then there's that line, isn't there? There's that you're in a professional... You know, team in a ultra professional competition, you just got to perform. I was really disappointed with Tracy. Like, Caleb Strong was lined up for goal, and you knew to go and stand in the points column. You didn't stand in the goal square. because that's where it was. It wasn't going in the goal square. But Tracy's standing there and just let Barras uncontested mark. And I'm like, and again, it's probably hard because he does give you a contest every single week, nearly every single minute. But it seems that mindset, that passive mindset, was infectious. And
man, I reckon witches' hats would have been more engaged on Saturday.
I think you might have been.
You know, there was so many times where we were just standing and watching.
Yep.
And then we'd be a meter or 2 meters off and then react, but it's going to be far too late at that point because they're off and gone.
And the tackles are breaking.
Every tackle got broken. Yep. We didn't lay one tackle.
Yeah.
But I think that word passive is the key for the week.
It's the thing.
Across the board, like there was just no intensity, and we were watching. For whatever reason, we were just watching.
When Alex withered and breaks a tackle, then turns around and mocks you.
But I mean, this is the thing. I mean, talking about Eagles haven't had their premiership players on the park and this and that and the other.
Yep.
Like half their guys aren't premiership players.
Yep.
And they're discards from other clubs. And you know, Jaden Hunt, we made look like a star at one point. Like,
yes.
These guys can't play.
That's right.
If you heard Freo were picking him up, you're like, hang on a minute, what are we doing here? Like, you know, Bailey Williams made us look second rate through the middle at times. That's an issue in itself.
That's a big issue.
It's not a personnel issue. It's an attitude. It's a preparation, motivation. Yep. I don't know. What do? Do you put it behind you and pretend it didn't happen? It feels like that's a very irresponsible way to live your life. You've got to learn from this somehow. You've got to ensure that this doesn't happen again. But, you know, we're comparing this to the North game last year. It happened last year in a way.
Yeah.
And now it's happened again this year. That's a pattern of behavior that needs to be stamped out. You can't have these games.
You can't have these games because
you build this momentum through two, you know, you have two wins that are really good. You have two losses, although you never want to lose, you can take so much positivity from them. You take growth and belief and confidence from them.
Yeah.
This loss has wound back those two losses and the two wins. You're back where you started from. I reckon you're almost back below zero after this because the confidence you've gained, you've just got absolutely belted the bejesus out of you.
Yep.
There's none of that. There's none of that left after the weekend, sure.
No, and I mean, you know, we should have... You know, we could have gone into Saturday 5-0 or at least 4-1. That could have been it. As it was, we were 3-2. Like, our whole advantage, all that work we've done to set up the season, we've just undone it in one game. Because, we're now 3-2.
Our percentage was decent as well, and then you get flogged by six goals.
Yeah.
We gave back a bunch of percentage as well. So and you so, talk about the league best defense and all the rest of it, but that just means you're working from a low base.
Yeah, that's right. So we're back in the pack now. We're back in the pack. We're back fighting for survival. You know, it's just it has to be a one. So that's got to be our one for the season. We cannot
that just tells me we're not the real deal, though, because you can't have one of them in this season.
That's right.
I know people point to GWS last year and the West Coast game, and there's a few other examples. But I mean, to me, it just shows a fatal flaw in what's going on somewhere. Like there needs to be a change, and something's not right. If you put in a shift like that, something's up somewhere along the line.
Can I just go back? I just thought of it, Joe. You were talking about Bailey Banfield. And not only the goals he missed, two of his goals that he did miss, West Coast went straight down and kicked one straight away.
Mate, how often did that happen as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Like we'd have a gilt-edged opportunity to kick a goal, and then next thing you know, 15 seconds later, West Coast are putting one through.
Do you know one of them, right? Banfield later, probably, I think it was his easiest shot, and butchered it. Jamie Cripps went up to him.
Cripps. Yeah. I know.
And he kicked a goal 25 seconds later.
Yeah, so embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing.
How's the work rate? Where's our, you know, where are we? Where's it? They outworked us, outmuscled us, they outthought us, you know? Elliot Yeo ran through Fife and O'Meara, and then Johnson let Chess a goal side, you know, and he ran through Brandon Walker for a goal. We were just, Oh, we've probably been a bit repetitive. We could bang on all day about it. But yeah, Johnson, Walters and Pierce slipping over. If I see one more player slip over, what are they on, ice skates? Oh, my God. Oh, that's frustrating, JoJo. But yeah, it's got
to
be.
I feel for everyone who puts their name to Fremantle to support them, to sponsor them, because, you know, I know it's not the end of the world. It's one game. It's never as bad. It's never as good. All that kind of stuff. But this week is just flat out embarrassing.
Yeah,
being a Fremantle Dockers supporter, I'll say it, because it's 100% true. Like no one's got anything to say back to anyone that wants to have a crack at your footy team this week. Like
you've just got to wear it.
You got to cop it on the chin, and shuffle on and decide that you're still going to continue supporting them and just hope for a better showing against the Bulldogs.
And which we'll do. You know, everyone will get back up. But, yeah, you have to, you know, lead with your chin and cop it. It's just, you just do. So, mind you, nothing annoys me more than these Woodwork supporters, these Woodwork West Coast supporters, that couldn't find them, you know, leading up to that game. Nothing annoys me more than that. But you just got to cop it. What can you do? So, but I'll tell you what, Jodo, things have gotten worse. For Joy Amos. He copped the knee in the head. And then he's sitting on the bench. Did you see him? Next to Bob? And Bob's patting him on the back with his gold Rolex-wrapped wrist. Joy's got to go for scans for on his back. Bob and the gold Rolex or the diamond gold Cartier or something. What's going on there? How does that go with the double demon? Oh, poor Joy, he's got a back scans now. Bit of gold in that watch, JJ. Bob's travelling alright, I mean.
I don't know if I can talk much more Dockers. I think I'm done talking Dockers for the day.
Do you know one more? I've got to have a go at Will Schofield.
Do you know he's I just saw Sonny just signed up for the Carnivals, Mount Hawthorn, Auskick, and I think Will's his year group coordinator.
So is he?
It'd be good to be able to reunite. I'm glad we didn't have to do it on Sunday. It starts next weekend.
Yeah, that is good. But I think he failed his first real test at neutrality. I think he's been very, very good, but he did everything he could to bucket Sonny Walters when he hit his head in the ground to try and get Barras off.
Did everything. A little bit, didn't he?
And do you know the other thing he said? He said there was a position where we slightly bumped Jack Darling out of the contest and he got a free kick, the mandatory free kick that he gets. Will Schofield said, you're allowed to do that as a backman, but you made it too obvious.
I think I remember that one. I get what he was saying.
Might get what he was saying, but you can't do that. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You're either allowed to do it or you're not.
I reckon you're being really harsh on him. I think that although they're not the most polished duo going around, they were good.
And I love
that he provided for a West Coast guy, as unbiased an account of the game as you could possibly hope for. I don't mind those two at all. I'd much rather have Paps and those two and then Kath as well than any other combo of people commentating our home games.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. I think they did a good job.
I've got to be honest, I'm only mucking around. If we could have those every week, Paps and those two, how good. And Kath, that'd be great. Yeah, I know, and I love Will Schofield. I reckon he's good. He's really good he adds something to it, doesn't he? He adds something to the call. But Jodo, any more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any more? Do you know the incentive that they should have next week for our? Is that because any more performances like that, we could end up being back at the Saturday morning or the Sunday arvo desk slot and have Kelly Underwood calling our games. So,
well, I feel like as almost a punishment, Kelly should come and commentate on the Bulldogs Freo game this week. There should be repercussions. There should be consequences and repercussions for what we did.
But haven't we suffered enough?
No, but we're all in it together, aren't we? I think that...
You think the players care who's calling?
Maybe they should... Maybe what should happen is they should have Kelly Underwood go back and re-commentate the West Coast Freo game. And then when they watch review, they should have to watch it with the sound up.
Yes, that's a good idea. I like that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Do you know one other thing?
All right.
Before we go, get rid of the Ross Denning, Ross Glendinning, Ben Allen, Harley Reid medal. That is the most cringiest thing to listen to the votes being read out. Did you see it? Did you watch that bit?
Yeah. I think the thing that stood out or has stood out in the aftermath is David Mundy giving Harley Reid one, causing him to miss out on winning the medal. That's probably the saving grace of the day. Imagine the front page of the paper in that case.
Yeah.
Bad enough today as it was.
David Mundy put in bigger effort than our players did on the day.
He did.
He didn't like it either.
He put more thought into the game, didn't he?
Harley Reid didn't like it either because he made mention of it later.
Yeah.
And David Mundy doesn't like him.
Just having a joke. Do you know what is also a bit of a dog and pony show? Is your Mikasa Meters Game competition.
What are you talking about, JoJo?
Yeah, but I just noticed you haven't announced the winner on today's pod.
I haven't announced on the pod, but I put it up on socials. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great win. Deb Albrecht, she won it. That's great. Beautiful.
She got anything to do with Mikasa itself, by any chance?
What are you suggesting?
Just when I thought this competition couldn't get any worse, you got an inside job on her hands.
Well, she might do a little bit of work there, 5-6 days a week. but we run the competition, Joe. It's got nothing to do with Mikasa. All the predictions and all the entries, they're there for everyone to see. I was like, when she won it, I'm like, oh, no. I've got to deal with this now.
You got up to 40 entries, though, this week.
40 entries this week. Told you, it's growing. We're growing.
I wonder if this hurts it at all. You know, integrity in competitions is often quite an important factor and, you know, kind of dictate engagement of others.
Yeah, look at that performance Saturday night. Where was the integrity? But the thing of it is, as I've said before, we're running a dog and pony show competition worth $50 a week. I'm not one who works at the bank and steals stationery, JoJo. If the prize is $50, I'm not going to jail for that. But if it's $5 million, yeah, you better be a bit careful because I'm going to have a go. So she won it fair and square. That, as everyone does, you can always see the predictions, and it's good to have them on board. Shows you how engaged they are. They want to be involved too.
So it's kind of sounds like she's just trying to bump up the numbers to give the competition some credibility. Is that not what happened?
I sent them an email.
You're on the blower to everyone in the phone book.
Get involved.
Can you enter my competition?
I did. I sent several emails. Please make sure you get involved.
All right. Well, until we preview what we hope will be some kind of improved effort against the Bulldogs, who, to be honest, found themselves in a bit of form. Rory Lobb dominating up forward. We got him at a good time.
Are we doing lobster tears?
We're doing absolutely not.
Off the back of Sunday night? Yeah, right.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah. We might have to rebadge it a little bit. Have to do restump tears.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, until we preview the upcoming game, are you still down with the restump?
I absolutely don't know anything anymore. To hell with Ross Lyon. Some things are as bad as they seem.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah, start wearing purple.